AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Southwest has canceled more than 2,300 flights for the fourth straight day. It's also apologized again. Too little too late for Pittsburgh passenger David Cooper.
I think I've made my last flight on Southwest. I'm going to other airlines.
Key employees say the airline scheduling software is hopelessly outdated, and that helped make this week's meltdown even worse. Corliss King is vice president of the Southwest Flight Attendants Union.
That's as simple as it gets. It comes down to not our schedulers, not the people who answer the phones, but the capacity limits on the systems because the airline has grown so much.
The Vatican says retired Pope Benedict's health is still serious, but he's also been lucid, conscious, and sleeping well. Pope Francis has asked people to pray for his 95-year-old predecessor until the end. More American seniors are being hospitalized due to COVID. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The CDC says the hospitalization rate among Americans 70 and older reached a peak on Christmas Day that hasn't been seen since last February. Much of the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, as well as some parts of the Southwest, have some of the highest rates since last summer, still lower than last winter, but subvariants are causing the numbers to rise.
Starting January 5th, anyone coming here from China will have to test negative for COVID, but some experts are skeptical of the motive. Harvard University infectious disease specialist Dr. Daniel Karitskis on the BBC.
I think these are more about public relations and perhaps a bit about foreign policy than they are really about public health.
More help is coming for southern border migrants. Here, CBS's Omar Villafranca.
U.S. border officials announced plans to establish a tent facility outside of El Paso to hold roughly 1,000 migrants starting next month. And city leaders are working to prepare two schools to house migrants.
New Russian attacks on Ukraine are targeting power and water plants across the country. Ukrainian officials say they've shot down a number of Russian missiles, but CBS's Ian Lee tells us it's not soon enough for one family.
A Russian shell demolished the house of Tamara Breshin. Her son was inside. She scoured the wreckage looking for his ID so she could reclaim his body from the morgue. Why Russia shells Kherson is hard to tell. Nothing they hit appears to hold military value, just innocent civilians trying to survive.
Buffalo's driving ban has been lifted as plows remove more than 4 feet of snow. The mayor is asking people to stay put if they don't need to be out. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin's most powerful state lawmaker isn't mincing words while explaining his decision to remove Janelle Branch in his chair of the Assembly's Elections Committee. Speaker Robin Voss tells Channel 27 in Madison that Branch is no longer qualified for the job. Branch used the committee as a platform for conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. She even issued subpoenas to local election officials that appear to include language from similar subpoena efforts in other states. The Wisconsin Lottery says this year's ticket sales helped cut property taxes by about $213 for each household. That's down from last year's $230 lottery tax credit. Some people may see a little more or a little less depending on their local school district's tax rate. In sports, the Bulls beat the Bucks last night 119-113. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Alan Borsick, who is a Marquette University Law Fellow. How you doing, my friend? How's everything? Alan, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. How you doing?
I am good. We're getting ready, I hope, for a better 2023 than 2022, but we'll be okay, everybody.
Let me ask you, a couple weeks back, you wrote an article about Milwaukee Public Schools losing students at an alarming rate. And I looked at those sheer numbers, and that's kind of an amazing thing. When you first looked, I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Milwaukee. When I went to Milwaukee Public Schools, we had over 100,000 students. And so most of the high schools had 2,000 students. I understand it was the baby boomers and all of those things. But you look at some of those major high schools now, they've got 500 students, 600 students in facilities that were built to equip, to handle 2,000 students. What's going on?
You are correct. In fact, there was a time, I think around late 60s, 1970, when MPS had 130,000 students. And this fall, in the main body of what you think of when you think of Milwaukee Public Schools, it was under 60,000. So it's half the size of what it once was. It's down 20,000 students in the last 14 years, by the figures I keep. What's going on? Well, two things. There is some decline overall in the population of Milwaukee, and particularly the youth population. There's just fewer kids.
Right.
So that's a factor, and that's affecting all the schools in Milwaukee. But the bigger factor is that people are going elsewhere. The world of school choice, we've got a very large private school voucher program that a quarter of all the kids in the city are going to private schools, almost all of them religious schools, with public money supporting their education. We've got charter schools of quite some size, about 16,000 students in charter schools. We've got a few thousand kids, more than 5,000, going to public school, but not in the city of Milwaukee. They're going to the suburbs, or they're going to virtual public schools from school districts all across Wisconsin. So in the total, only slightly over half of the kids in the city of Milwaukee who live in the city of Milwaukee who are getting publicly funded education are getting an MPS. So that's a huge change, and it's a huge concern for the future of MPS.
Repeat the last statement you just made, because I think that is so telling. Half the students that live in Milwaukee. Repeat that.
And who are getting, it's like 52%, 53% of the students who are getting publicly funded education. State and local tax money is paying for their education. In your day and my day, 100% of the kids, including you and me, were going to our neighborhood public schools. That's all there was. That was the main option by far. These days, only 53% are going to Milwaukee public schools, as we think of the main body. You know, if you look at your paycheck and it says MPS on it. And so almost half are going all over the place, other places, religious schools, charter schools, suburban schools. They're going all over the place. And it's all, you know, legal. It's all part of the system. It's all things that people have chosen to do. You know, there's no one being assigned to go to a non-MPS school. It really is school choice, whether you like it or not. I'm not taking a stand on that issue, whether liking it or not, but it is a fact.
And I think you said hypothetically, it's like losing five high schools of 1,500 students each, plus 25 kindergarten through eighth grade schools of 500 each. And during the period, MPS has closed almost no schools. Many have much lower enrollment than they once had, however. So, I mean, that's telling because of the financial burden that goes along with keeping those buildings open and top maintenance.
There was a period in the mid-2000s when a guy named Bill Andrikopoulos was the superintendent, and he pushed to close schools because the district had way too much space. It had something like 120,000 available seats, and at that time had about 80,000 kids. And a number of schools were closed. But since, about 2007 or 8, almost no schools have been closed. They'll do everything to keep the school open. One of the school board members once said, Pepsi doesn't help Coke. And they thought anytime they closed the school, they were just going to make the building available to voucher schools or charter schools. So they stopped doing it. So they have schools that are operating with, as you said earlier, there's an elementary school not far from my house that has about, I believe, 300 students this year. It used to have 800 students. Some of the buildings are being used for special programs, you know, remedial programs for kids, that kind of thing. They'll do anything to keep buildings open these days, which means they're spending a huge amount of money on maintaining the system.
You know, Alan, part of, and there's no sign that we can see that says this is going to turn around, because a lot of the children that are being taken away from Milwaukee Public Schools, where parents have chosen to move their children, are grade schools and middle schools. So there isn't that feeder system that would feed kids from, you know, preschool, kindergarten, on up through middle school, through the high schools. Am I wrong about that?
You're absolutely right. The bulk of the choice programs are still in elementary grades, kindergarten through eighth grade, and the MPS high schools, which are those the feeder schools, the MPS high schools are most of them are getting smaller, a couple exceptions. That, you know, there are some schools that are thriving. And even those ones are thriving because people are choosing to go to them. I'm thinking of like Reagan High School on the far south side, right, or Rufus King on the north side. But your main body of MPS schools generally has pretty small enrollment compared to years ago. I mean, everything from start out with Vincent High School on the northwest side and go down to Bayview or Bradley Tech on the southeast side, you know, just go past, you know, a dozen high schools that are really smaller than they used to be, and in some cases, strikingly smaller.
You know, Alan, and this is how I think about this, because even these private and other entities that have opened and are starting to take in the children of the city of Milwaukee, many of them don't offer high schools. So they go from kindergarten through eighth grade, excuse me, and even one like, for heaven's sakes, what's the name of the Hope Christian Academy,
which had
a big high school that they attempted to try and failed at, and said we're going to go back to just, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade. So at some point in time, that these entities aren't offering the high school component, and let's make no mistake about it.
Some are, and some
right. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Some are. There's been some growth in some high schools. This is going to be a big issue, and one of many in the state budget that's coming up in the first half of 2023, is how much money is going to be spent on the voucher and charter schools, certainly also on all of the public schools, but particularly the high schools, because Hope was an example. When they closed their high school a year ago, they said it's because the state's support for high schools is inadequate. High schools are more expensive per student than grade schools because they've got more extensive programs. And they said, we're not getting enough money to keep the school going, the high school going. Now, frankly, I think there were some other factors involved in Hope, but that was one. And there's going to be a lot of pressure from the private schools and the voucher schools to increase their payments, but especially at the high school level.
So let me ask you, Alan, because at the root of all of this is, will the taxpayers continue to pay for all these different types of education? And, you look at Milwaukee public schools, and clearly, if the students and the populations aren't there, at the root of all of that, is there going to be major cuts to Milwaukee Public Schools' budget, because they're not going to continue to fund all these different educational entities? Is it safe to say that?
Well, it's certainly a very important question. I mean, there were leading Republicans a few years ago who were saying we can't afford two parallel school systems, a choice system and a public system. You don't hear those voices coming too much from the Republicans these days, but the question is really still there. But yeah, you can afford all sorts of things if you're willing to put up a lot of money. They don't seem to be willing to put up a lot of money either.
So, Alan,
I think there's a crisis coming.
Alan, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Mr. Alan Borsig. He's a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but he's also a Marquette University Law Fellow. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 50 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tonight. Slight chance for scattered showers, 32. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Alan Borsig. He is with Marquette University, a law fellow and a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who focuses on education. You know, Alan, the voucher system is a national system that, you know, is impacting more than just Milwaukee, even though it was started here in Milwaukee. Is it having any impact in other public entities across the state?
Well, that's increasingly so, yes. It started out in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was the first urban voucher program in the country going back to 1990. And in the Scott Walker era, so going back about 10 years now, program was added in Racine, and that's grown to be a fairly decent-sized program. And there's vouchers now available.
West Milwaukee and other places.
Well, they're available now anywhere in the state,
right,
with some limitations. And that's one of the things the Republicans really wanted to do. If the Republicans had won the governor's race, Tim Michaels, one of the things they said would be in the state budget was a major expansion of the voucher program, making it, especially statewide, making it easier to get vouchers all across the state. So they still want to do that. Obviously, Tony Evers, Democratic incumbent, number one, he won. Number two, he's very opposed to that. what's going to happen as we get into the state budget is a really, really good question. Will there be some compromises, something for both sides, or will it just be a stalemate? Robin Voss, the Republican leader, has made some sounds about what he would regard as a compromise, which would be give us more money for vouchers, more expansion of vouchers, and we'll give you more money for public schools. And the governor has said he didn't regard that as a very appealing offer. He thought, he's just never going to give in on at least I don't think he's ever going to give in on doing something for the private school programs, the voucher programs. So you got the state budget process beginning by the beginning of February, ending, at least by the book, it's supposed to end by the end of June, and that's going to be a big mess.
You wrote another article that talked about that there are good schools in all of these different educational entities, and, you certainly can point at schools that are thriving on all levels. You often don't hear about the Golden Myers and other schools and that Milwaukee Public Schools certainly offers and are doing a good job with. And you know, you certainly can't argue with some of the schools that are in the private schools and those types of things. But at the root of all of that, Alan, what makes a school a good school?
On a certain level, in my book, the recipe isn't that hard to describe. It's really hard to carry out, but it isn't hard to describe. Show me a good school, I'll show you a really good principal. I'll show you a staff that's united and working together, and a school with a what you'd call a strong school culture, just that everyone's kind of on board. The leadership, the staff, the students, the parents, and everyone is like, we know we're here to do good things. A school that has clear goals, good goals, you know, some ambition. A school that's a happy place. You know, people think that high-performing schools are supposed to be sometimes like really strict and rigid, and everyone has their nose in books all the time. A really high-performing school is often a very lively, happy place. Lots going on, lots of involvement, lots of extracurriculars. So the recipe isn't hard. Carrying it out is hard. There aren't that many great school leaders, for one thing.
You know, Alan, when I spent 12 years in the schools, and last year was the first year in many years that I was not there. And what I noticed were key to all of it was parents. And so in many of those schools that we are talking about, private schools and others, they demand parental involvement. And if there's no parental involvement, it's very difficult undertaking to be able to educate children in a proper manner. Milwaukee Public Schools doesn't have that luxury because they're by law mandated to educate every kid. They can't say your parents aren't involved, and therefore we can't have you here. Other schools get that option.
I would suggest it's sometimes a little more complicated than that, but basically there's a lot to what you're saying. Parental involvement is hugely valuable. It's not impossible to succeed without it.
I didn't say it was impossible, but it's a lot more likely that if parents are involved, their children are going to be successful.
I was just going to say it's not impossible, but it is certainly much harder. So you're right about that. And there is truth to the notion that MPS has to take everybody, although sometimes they have their own ways of dealing with kids who are problems and what schools they put them into. And if you are fighting, if you're just not even taking part in homework and basic academics in some of the higher performing private schools or charter schools, yeah, you're just not going to fit in there. They'll find a way to move you out if you don't move yourself out.
Hey, Alan, hold on a second. We've got to go to another break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Alan Borsak is on the line. Man, I always enjoy having this conversation with you about education. And, you know, again, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's Choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. With more than 2,300 cancellations for the fourth straight day, Southwest outdated scheduling software gets some of the blame for this week's meltdown. Flight Attendants Union VP Corliss King.
We're the largest domestic carrier in the country. So we've grown our airline, but our operation has to grow with it.
Starting January 5th, arrivals from China will have to test negative for COVID. Harvard University's Dr. Daniel Kuritskis says this is more about public relations.
I can certainly understand the concern about the potential for importation of new variants from other parts of the world, but in reality, these measures are very unlikely to have any significant impact in reducing risk.
More attacks on Ukraine. The BBC's Hugo Bachega is in Kyiv.
Today, we heard from officials who said more than 120 missiles were fired, targeting cities across the country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. You're not alone if you're turning to a food pantry for help for the first time. Since this time last year, the cost of food has gone up 12.4% according to the Consumer Price Index. WPR reporting food pantries across Wisconsin and the country are seeing a steady increase in clients. The price increase is also hitting the pantries themselves. It now costs them more to buy the food they distribute. A Southwest Airlines flight having mechanical issues landed safely at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport Wednesday afternoon. This just the latest of Southwest problems since last week's winter storm. 32 flights were canceled yesterday and a huge pile of luggage remained stacked up at the baggage claim, either waiting to be claimed or sent on to a final destination. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Alan Borsek. He's a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Marquette University Law Fellow. You know, Alan, I was just thinking, private schools, religious schools, and let's talk about the differences between a private school and the parochial schools. The private schools is some business philanthropists or business leaders have stepped into the educational realm financially putting big bucks into creating private schools. Let's talk about, you know, that, because are those for-profit schools, those private schools? Because I would ask the question, why would business step forward and invest those kinds of resources in something that they're not absolutely sure is going to be successful?
Well, there's as many answers as there are people doing it. one thing I do want to point out, there are either none or maybe there's one, and I'm not thinking of it, for-profit schools in Milwaukee. That we don't actually have now. How charitable and benign are some of them? That's a different issue. And you know, everybody can get judged on their own. Why would a rich person, and some of them are from across the country that have been investing in Milwaukee, why would they do it? Maybe because they want to do something good. Maybe they want to have their name on something that's helping deal with society's problems. You know, I've met some of these people, and I actually think they're like good people. Others are on an ego trip. I'll grant that. You know, you've got a school on the south side that has risen very rapidly, St. Augustine Prep, Aug Prep, as it's called. That the family behind it, owners of a business in Waukesha called Husco, the Ramirez family and Gus Ramirez, particularly, have put up, I don't even know what number they used to say.
Just to see the expansion of what they've done there on 6 and, I forgot where it is, 6 and...
A few blocks south of Lincoln.
Yes. I mean, it's a spectacular campus.
It's a spectacular campus, and not only that, they're getting first-class results. They got a 4-star report card. And I visited that school several weeks ago, and you can't deny that not only do they have a good facility, they're really doing a good job. I was very impressed with what I saw there. It's a very Christian school. It's not an MPS school. You wouldn't confuse the two. But they're getting great academic results, too. And so did Gus Ramirez do this for bad reasons? I highly doubt it. I think he did it because he's really thought this was part of his legacy to put on a school like this and leave it for the future of Milwaukee. So they're not all bad people, these people.
I just don't see that. You know, Alan, I'm not saying they're bad people. You know, you look at even in Milwaukee public schools, and you look at a college prep, you know, and some of the non-instrumentality schools, that Milwaukee public school has. And for those who don't know what that is, it means that those are schools that are part of Milwaukee Public Schools, but basically don't have to play by the same rules.
They have more freedom to choose, yeah.
Yeah, and how they go about educating. And so is it safe to say, Alan, that, you know, we're in a climate where one size doesn't fit all anymore?
Well, we're not only in a climate where one size doesn't fit all, but where parents don't want one size to fit all. They want specific. I mean, the parents want a lot of these things. So there's a million. If there's 111,000 kids or something getting public education and publicly funded education in Milwaukee, there's 111,000 stories as to why they're doing it. But if I were MPS, which I'm not, I would look at my house and say, how come people aren't choosing us, and what can we do about it? There was a time 20 years ago when that was the thinking in MPS, and it probably had some positive results. Some good schools arose at that time, but to sit and sulk about it isn't helpful. What you really need to do is say, we got to make these, in their own way, schools of choice.
You know,
and that isn't happening.
You know, Alan, what role does the school board play in what happens at Milwaukee Public Schools? I've witnessed different school boards over the decades and the differences in the way they look at things. Do you think part of the problem that are many in Milwaukee Public Schools is the fact that we have a school board that it kind of leans more to MTEA, you know, the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, than it does addressing the real issues of the district itself?
I always try to resist getting too political, but
right.
Let's put it this way. I don't pay very much attention these days to what the school board is doing, not for any partisan reason as much as I don't think they're really doing much that's changing the landscape or working on improving things. It's just they aren't the ones who are making the call. You could go to...
Yeah, but the school board is supposed to...
You could go to 50...
But, Alan, the school board is supposed to be the ones making the call.
Absolutely correct. And you could go to 50 meetings of the Milwaukee School Board and never hear a serious discussion, a really probing discussion about why aren't kids doing better? Why do we have such an intense reading crisis in the city of Milwaukee? You know, let me be a little more provocative. The Washington Post just... What's today? Tuesday had a sizable story written by a former reporter who spent a lot of time in Milwaukee about Fairfax County. I think it was Fairfax County Schools, where the NAACP got very active in demanding that kids learn how to read.
They went back to whole language.
They went back to more phonics.
Phonics.
These days it's called the science of reading.
Right.
And the community, and especially the NAACP, rose up and said, we are not going to accept so many kids doing so badly in school, especially reading. Well, we haven't seen that here. We haven't seen it from the school board. We haven't seen it, frankly, from a lot of the community. There's reading activism going on all over the country, and it's not just conservative partisans. It's across the board, because reading scores went down across the country. Reading scores in Milwaukee, not only for MPS, but for many of the private schools, were atrocious last year. I mean, under 10% of kids were reading at a proficient level according to the state standards, and that means 90% were not. There were schools in Milwaukee that had 0% proficient in reading and 0% proficient in math. You say, why aren't we doing something about that?
Well,
and the school board just hasn't been stepping up to ask that question.
Well, but Alan, you and I know that there was a decision made to go away from phonics that has been detrimental to reading scores all over this nation for decades now. And
the reading wars go back a long time. That's true.
And and the fact that phonics worked, but somewhere along the way, you know, people made decisions to go away from phonics. And I think there's some push, and maybe that's part of what the NAACP was talking about, was let's go back to phonics. We do know that children read in different ways and learn in different manners, but phonics was a successful tool that was used. Why they changed that, I'll never know. But it certainly has not been something that has made children thrive more in reading.
There's almost no career path in today's world that doesn't that involves making a decent living at all, that doesn't involve being a competent reader.
Right.
It's just essential. And there are so many kids who are graduating high school not really being good readers, and almost all of them could have been taught that. I mean, I hear frequently, both from MPS and from non-MPS people, about kids showing up in 9th grade and 10th grade reading at the 2nd and 3rd grade level.
So, Alan, so
say, why aren't we doing something about that?
So here's where the root of that problem lies. If the kids don't learn how to read in the early stages, they're certainly not going to be able to catch up as they get older. The key to all of it is in those early stages of development, and where phonics used to be, it worked for your and my generation. But somewhere along the line, they changed that.
It's out of fashion, that's for sure.
Well, yes.
And then you had what was called whole language and so on. But yeah.
And so we've ruined that many children's lives because of decisions that were made that parents really weren't aware of, did not know. The people in the know supposedly made the decision to change that, and now there's a push to go back to phonics. But you are right. If you can't read or write, I've seen kids, as you stated, who can't read. And it's shameful that the wealthiest nation on earth has so many children who can't read. And you can look at places like India and China, who have been able to, educate the masses of their people who were not educated at all. And yet in our nation, it's not that we're not spending the money on education. It's something going on with the system of education that's not working.
And I'm intending to do a fair amount of writing about reading in the next few months. I really want to make it a big subject. But if I were running a business and for 25 years in a row, I got bad results and I didn't ask myself, what can I do to make my customers happier? What can I do to have more success? And just instead shrugged my shoulders and said, well, it must be the customers. It must be the kids. I don't know what. I wouldn't be doing a very good job as a business person. And that's what's going on too much these days, is too many people shrugging their shoulders and saying, it's not our fault. Well, maybe it is our fault.
Alan, hang on one more second, one more break. Tom, I see you. We'll come to you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right.
Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a high of 55. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows around 32, cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 38. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Borstein. You know, Alan, before we go to the phone lines, our society apparently is either not aware of those numbers that you rendered about the fact that you know, so many children can't read. And I think, Alan, what many may think is that's just in the urban communities, right? That's the only place that this is happening. But that's not the case, is it?
Not the case. It's certainly worse. The data is worse when it comes to low-income communities, frankly, minority populations. The crisis is definitely one with urgency related to racial equity, in my opinion. But yeah, they've got problems everywhere. I mean, if you talk to reading experts, they'll often say like 70% of kids are going to learn how to read no matter what education, what the style of teaching them is going to be. But there's the 30% that are going to struggle, and those are the ones who really need more intense and better options, and including how to, as it's called, decode words, how to know what sounds different letters make, which is something that wasn't stressed for many years. So it's that 30%, and that, for that matter, every kid, even the other 70%, really need to know how to decode words, to read a word and see and sound it out. So, yes, you could go to Elm Grove or Mequon or any place, and they've got reading problems, too. The numbers may not be as large, but the urgency is still high.
Let me ask you, Alan, is any of this the technology that, you know, we have, and the fact that kids have more access to technology, has that been a hindrance, or is that something that can be used as a tool to improve reading, or has it actually been a hindrance?
I don't know if there's a simple conclusion. There's been a lot of talk about it, a lot of research about it, but in some ways, technology, and I've seen it myself in schools that I've visited going back for a number of years now, you'd say, hey, that's really cool stuff they're doing. On the other hand, you see things going, you say kids are just too distracted. They're not reading books. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them. We have such a fragmented world for adults as well as for kids that you say, you know, I'm not getting the kind of broad social input, political and cultural input that, you know, kids got in my day. The kids today are just not exposed to as much. So overall, I'd be very, myself, I'm kind of skeptical or cautious about technology. I'm still a book person, I admit, right. But I'm also old.
So, Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? You say what?
Hey, Earl. Here's what I would say is that
It's fine if they want to have charter schools. It's fine if they want to have private schools, for-profit, whatever, but stop using we the people's money. Stop using the taxpayers' money for these things. I'm sure that they've used charter schools and things to try to divide and conquer like they do everything else. But we the people are paying for these a good public education. And I believe that the public education has suffered greatly because of charter schools and because of private schools. I think Earl hit on it earlier in the fact that, you know, the parents are a big part of this thing. And the problem is that we have, you know, we have a problem in this country with income disparity. We have a problem with, like Earl was talking about the other day, single parents that have to, you know, be working so hard and the kids are not maybe getting read a bedtime story or to, you know, actually start learning about reading and things like that, you know, even from their parents. I mean, we have a real issue, and it really comes back down to, as far as I'm concerned, is we get a lot of lip service that we care about children. We don't give a crap about children. If we did, there would be gun safety laws. If we did, there would be, you know, a strong public education system. If we did, you know, there would be so many different things. There would be good meals. There would be actually chefs that were cooking their meals in a public school rather than giving them all this crap that we get from processed, manufactured, donor money food. You know, this is a big issue. And, you know, I keep going back to we have to get money out of politics. We all say that that's not possible. But if we all actually did realize that it is all about the money and follow the money, we'd really see what the issue is. But I think that you can't have two education systems.
Thank you, Tom. Alan, you want to respond? Alan, you want to respond?
Alan?
Yeah.
Earl, can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. If someone says to me this is a violation of separation of church and state to have a voucher program that's paying for, you know, amounts of money going to religious education for kids that are unprecedented in American history, that is a true statement. It's a true statement that that's going on. But is it a violation of church and state? It's certainly been found legal by the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. So it is the law of the land at the moment. Second point, this is choice. People have chosen to do this. So if I were an advocate for the public school system, one of the things I would focus on much more than I think a lot of people are willing to do currently is why are people doing this and what can we do to win them back? You know, to take away the choice and that people want. I mean, they're expressing and thousands and thousands of people are expressing dissatisfaction with what's going on in public schools, not only in the city of Milwaukee, but in suburban places statewide. To frustrate these parents is not going to be a happy route for the state of Wisconsin. So you have to figure out what is it that we can do that really speaks to making things better overall, and not just be wishful about things that don't exist anymore.
Hey, Alan, man, the time flies. I'm going to stay in touch with you as always. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk soon.
I do hope it's a great year ahead for you and for all your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.